Then did Christian address himself to go back, and Evangelist, after he had kissed him, gave him one smile and bid him Godspeed. So he went on with haste. Neither spake he to any man by the way, nor, if any asked him, would he vouchsafe them an answer. He went like one that was all the while treading on forbidden ground, and could by no means think himself safe till again he was got into the way which he left, to follow Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. So in process of time Christian got up to the gate. Now over the gate there was written, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you."
He that will enter in must first without stand knocking at the gate, nor need he doubt that is a knocker but to enter in, for God can love him and forgive his sin. May I now enter here? Will he within open to sorry me, though I have been an undeserving rebel? Then shall I not fail to sing his lasting praise on high.
At last there came a grave person to the gate named Goodwill, who asked who was there, and whence he came, and what he would have.
"Here is a poor, burdened sinner. I come from the city of destruction, but am going to Mount Zion, that I may be delivered from the wrath to come. I would, therefore, sir, since I am informed that by this gate is the way thither, know if you are willing to let me in."
"I am willing with all my heart."
So when Christian was stepping in, the other gave him a pull.
"Come, quickly!
What means that?"
"A little distance from this gate there is erected a strong castle, of which Beelzebub is the captain. From thence both he and them that are with him shoot arrows at those that come up to this gate, if happily they may die before they can enter in."
"Oh, I rejoice and tremble."
So when he was got in, the man of the gate asked him who directed him thither.
"Evangelist bid me come hither and knock, as I did, and he said that you, sir, would tell me what I must do."
"An open door is set before thee, and no man can shut it."
Now I begin to reap the benefits of my hazards.
"But how is it that you came alone?"
"Because none of my neighbors saw their danger, as I saw mine."
"Did any of them know of your coming?"
"Yes. My wife and children saw me at the first, and called after me to turn again. Also some of my neighbors stood crying and calling after me to return, but I put my fingers in my ears, and so came on my way."
"But did none of them follow you, to persuade you to go back?"
"Yes, both obstinate and pliable. But when they saw that they could not prevail, obstinate went railing back. But pliable came with me a little way."
"But why did he not come through?"
"We indeed came both together, until we came at the Slough of Despond, into the which we also suddenly fell. And then was my neighbor pliable discouraged, and would not venture further. Wherefore, getting out again on that side next to his own house, he told me that I should possess the brave country alone for him."
"At our first setting out, what may we expect between this and our journey's end? May I get out again with my life, you shall possess this brave country alone for me."
"So he went on his way, and I came mine, he after obstinate, and I to this gate."
"Alas, poor man. Is the celestial glory of so small esteem with him that he counteth it not worth running the hazards of a few difficulties to obtain it?"
"Truly, I have said the truth of Pliable, and if I should also say all the truth of myself, it will appear that there is no betterment betwixt him and myself. It is true he went back to his own house, but I also turned aside to go in the way of death, being persuaded thereto by the carnal arguments of one Mr. Worldly Wiseman."
"How now, good fellow? Whither away after this burdened man?"
"Oh, did he light upon you? He would have had you assought for ease at the hands of Mr. Legality. They are, both of them, a very cheat. But did you take his counsel?"
"Yes, as far as I durst. I went to find out Mr. Legality, until I thought that the mountain that stands by his house would have fallen upon my head. Wherefore there I was forced to stop."
"That mountain has been the death of many, and it will be the death of many more. It is well you escaped being by it dashed in pieces."
"Oh, why, truly, I do not know what had become of me there, had not Evangelist happily met me again, as I was musing in the midst of my dumps. But it was God's mercy that he came to me again, for else I had never come hither. But now I am come, such a one as I am, more fit indeed for death by that mountain than thus to stand talking with my Lord. But, oh, what a favor is this to me, that yet I am admitted entrance here."
We make no objections against any, notwithstanding all that they have done before they came hither. They are in no wise cast out. And therefore, good Christian, come a little way with me, and I will teach thee about the way thou must go. Look before thee. Dost thou see this narrow way?
Yes.
That is the way thou must go. It was cast up by the patriarchs, prophets, Christ, and his apostles. And it is as straight as a rule can make it. This is the way thou must go.
But are there no turnings or windings by which a stranger may lose his way?
Yes, there are many ways but down upon this, and they are crooked and wide. But thus thou mayest distinguish the right from the wrong, the right only being straight and narrow.
Then I saw in my dream that Christian asked him further if he could not help him off with his burden that was upon his back, for as yet he had not got rid thereof, nor could he by any means get it off without help.
As to thy burden, be content to bear it until thou comest to the place of deliverance, for there it will fall from thy back of itself.
Then Christian began to gird up his loins and to address himself to his journey. So the other told him that by that he was gone some distance from the gate, he would come at the house of the interpreter, at whose door he should knock, and he would show him excellent things. Then Christian took leave of his friend, and he again bid him Godspeed.
Godspeed, dear Christian.